All right, we're back on the Saturday afternoon show. I'm Tom Rowe, live from Wave Farm in Accra, and I've got on the phone here, maybe he can hear us now, Frank M. Speck, the executive producer of Workers Independent News. Frank, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Where exactly are you?
We are in Accra, New York, which is a little smack dab in the center between Woodstock and Albany in so many ways.
Oh, really? Okay, I know where that is. My brother has a place a little bit north of Woodstock, so it sounds pretty close.
And you are in Madison? Is that where you are, Madison,
right,
Wisconsin?
Right, Madison. The big day today, the lake near our house finally broke up, so there's water. There's still big ice flows, but at least there's water.
Oh, my goodness. Well, most of our ice has melted here, but we got you on the phone not to talk about the weather, but to talk about a recent federal communications decision. A $44,000 fine was levied in February against WLS in Chicago for airing your group's news segments.
Well, it was levied because the station did not properly identify it, you know, and when you have purchased content, the station has to say before the broadcast or at some point adjacent to it that this news is sponsored, this material is sponsored by whatever. And the station did not do that.
I guess on 11 occasions or something?
Well, on 11 occasions, 90. The problem here is that, you know, on commercial radio, all news is sponsored by someone. When you listen to CNN or you listen to ABC or whatever happens to be in your neighborhood, they say this news is brought to you by so-and-so. It could be General Motors. It could be Comcast. It could be anybody. In our case, it's the same thing. We buy the time and people sponsor it. In other types of news, for instance, ABC, the station pays ABC and then sells commercials to pay their costs. Sometimes you have national commercials where ABC has, say, 30 seconds. If you watch TV, you see CNN in the morning, let's say, 14 or 15 minutes out of every hour are for commercials, some of which are local, some of which are national. So I think ideologically or theoretically, there's no difference between what we're doing and that. But what happened here was and is that the FCC decided to make editorial comments about our news, saying basically they're fining the station so much because our news is fake. And they say it's fake because it's sponsored. Well, this is total nonsense. And furthermore, the newscasts that we were talking about were a part of an ongoing discussion in the state of Illinois at the time about building infrastructure for a 2016 Olympic bid, I guess it was, whatever time the Olympics are, 2018. In any event, for the Olympic bid. And the idea was it was a big, big discussion going on about should tax money be used for this? What should the infrastructure be? And there was a bill in the state assembly, I think it was the assembly, that was raising these issues, and that's what we reported on. It was not partisan. We weren't taking a position. We were simply saying in this short 90 seconds or so, this bill is up and this is what it does.
But before we get too deep into it, can you give us a little background on Workers Independent News, what it is?
Sure. Workers Independent News is a daily headline news service, and that means we do 3 minutes of news every day. We don't do editorials, by and large. I don't think we've done any in 10 or 12 years. About 175, 180 stations throughout the country broadcast our news every day. So we reach around 750,000 people a day, probably, in 36 states and about 150 cities. Some cities have more than one station. We've been doing this since 2002. We've been growing every year a little bit, not as much as we would like. But by and large, unlike, say, Marketplace or unlike the Stock Report, we have trouble getting on commercial radio. Commercial radio says, well, you know, we do these other things. We're not obligated to cover your issues, and we're not going to do it unless you want to pay for it. And so it is essentially a situation where if you want news about working people or our communities out there, it's a very difficult proposition to get it on commercial radio. WLS was willing to accept a sponsorship and did it during this 8 or 9 month period, I think the spring of 2009, starting with the auto show. Hardly hardly a left-wing venue. And there we were, broadcasting live from the auto show in Chicago. It's a very big show. It's like the Detroit Auto Show up there on the stage. And for the next 5 or 6 months, we did a newscast on WLS in the morning, I think.
And you, in what you just said, I guess you hinted at that the FCC used to be more of a heavy regulatory body and mandated that stations did community service programming, and there was always shows early on Sunday mornings that were community interviews, and now those are even gone.
Those are gone. I think what is more significant here, actually, is this, that unless you have money, you're not going to be on the media. And it's a self-perpetuating situation. People say, well, you know, the unions aren't doing anything. Well, if you have to pay $1,000 a minute just to get on the radio in New York to say what you're doing, you're going to run out of money pretty soon. And so what happens is you have a continuing narrowing of what's available. I like Sunday morning, but I like the top of the hour a lot better. And I think that our little Dow Bob, we had a little newscast specifically on the economics, but not the economics of the stock market, which most people cannot control and have nothing to do with, but say a number on unemployment or the number of poor people or the number of people getting food stamps or a whole variety of other very important numbers, equally important to whatever the Dow Jones average is. And so I thought, well, we should have that and they can do the Dow Jones. We'll call ours a Dow Bob. They can call theirs a Dow Jones, and they should be treated equally at the top of the hour.
All right, I was going in a different direction. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to follow up on what I was trying to set up, and that the FCC previously did regulate radio a little more so than it does now, and now it doesn't. But this this ruling seems like a heavier regulation to me. And so, why do you do you see a disparity there? And is the FCC a body that regulates radio and tries to do it better for listeners, or is it stay on the side and let the commerce work?
Well, their position for the last 10 or 12 years since the abolishment of the fairness doctrine, I think that's what you're talking
yes.
about, has been to just say, you know, anybody can do anything they want, which means the default situation is that many people are excluded. So this is a very strange thing based on that presumption, as well as based on what one of the commissioners, Ajit Pai, who was obviously, I mean, there's five commissioners involved in this statement.
And he's one of the two Republicans on the...
He's one of the two Republicans, but a member, apparently, according to the website, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, he speaks at their, I think, technology and media meetings from time to time, giving them advice. But one of the things he says is that the FCC should get out of the way, have nothing to do with content, and you know, let the market go where it's going to go. Well, this seems to be the exact opposite. There was no reason for them to talk about our content. We're not even a party to the case. It was between WLS and the FCC. We did nothing wrong, and nobody ever accused us of doing anything wrong. And so to sort of take this sort of detour and go out of their way to make comments about our newscast, I think it's odd, and I think it's totally unwarranted, and it's hurtful. Let me just give one small example of why this is so bizarre. Many people know that there was this huge to-do here in Wisconsin 2 or 3 years ago, hundreds of thousands of people in the street, and there was a lot of news coverage. And one day, Fox News was covering this. And in the background, they said they were live from Madison, Wisconsin. It's the middle of the winter here. They had palm trees. Well, you know, there's no palm trees here even in the summertime. And so, but nothing was said about that. No problem claiming that here is live from Madison, Wisconsin, and palm trees. You know, I mean, really, give me a break. And so, of course, the demonstrators then carried on palm trees for a couple of weeks. But the fact of the matter was, there's nothing was said about that when it was clearly fraudulent. So, I mean, you have to be out of your mind not to be able to see that.
So they could cite all sorts of examples of programming that is sponsored by someone or another on all sides of the political spectrum. Why did they single you out? And why was...
Well, we don't know. Some people who are very concerned about the FCC and media have addressed questions to the FCC. I've spoken, or our organization has written a letter to our congressman, Mark Pocan, asking him to please ask the FCC both who complained and why, and what the rationale was here. He has not gotten an answer as of now, so far as we know. The FCC deliberations, as well as who complained, are confidential. So we don't know who it is, and they're not available to the public for several years. We have a friend of ours.
That's true, that complaints to the FCC are confidential?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know.
We know that they are made by email and from Washington, D.C., but we do not know who.
There's not a Sunshine Law or Freedom Information Act that applies to that?
We haven't found it yet. We know after several years, I think it's 5 years, you can get the information. And so some media people, one of the broadcast journalism professors in the country has filed the Freedom of Information Act case, and the FCC said that they'd let us know by Tuesday. No, Monday, the 14th. So you may know
something this coming Monday.
It's possible. But the FCC, by and large, is pretty opaque. And so so the answer is, no, we don't know. And no, I don't expect to know, but we're hopeful. The problem here isn't that, we're going to be driven bankrupt or something. But it's one more impediment to getting on commercial radio. You know, program managers are paid to read these things. And they're going to say, if they don't say it to me directly, we don't need this. What do we need to get into this hassle for? Who knows? That's one thing. But secondly,
so you think they're trying to scare a station? I mean, they are scaring stations from airing your news.
Well, we can't prove it. And somebody comes to you and says, why don't you air this program? And you say, oh, I look it up. And they look it up in Google or look it up someplace. They say, oh, look at that. Lots of listeners. What is this FCC thing here? What? So it's just one more reason not to do it. And so we'll never know, really, how many people do that. How can we know? Unless the person calls up and says, we're doing this because of the FCC, which I doubt. So effectively, it can hurt in a sort of an underhanded, deceitful way. But this also goes way beyond the FCC's legislative mandate. Nobody's asked the FCC in any legislation, any time in the last 75 years, to become a agency that comments on editorial content. And that's what's so dangerous here.
I mean, if they they'd have to take off every local news program in the country because they're just devoid of actual news.
Well, there's all that, but it's a bad precedent, and that's what worries media activists here and worries us. Now, why they did this, I don't know. We're the only nationally daily news program that covers labor and union issues in the country. We are not unabashed about this, just like the stock market news doesn't start off but with a critique of the stock market as an institution. We don't start off with a critique of the labor movement or community organizations as institutions. We start out saying, basically it's an editorial position. And I'll give you an example. Let's say up where you are, there's a strike. Usually what happens is the media runs out and talks to the owner or whoever in the company. They frame the issue, and then they may or may not talk to the union. That is, the people who are on strike. We go out and talk to the strikers and the people who are sacrificing their livelihood, and then we talk to the owner. So we frame the issue from the point of view of the community or the people involved. I think that is legitimate and very important news. It's not that we exclude others, but we frame it differently. And maybe that's why these people in the FCC were upset. We have no idea, so I'm not going to make that accusation. But it is odd, that's for sure.
Well, and your description of framing the news could certainly be applied to MSNBC or Fox, as you know.
Sure. I don't think there's anything wrong with having an opinion or being out front about it. But, I mean, we're so narrow in some ways. How about this? You call up the FCC and say, you have these two commissioners on. They seem to be pretty wealthy people, and they're allied with ALEC, and one of them goes to the Hudson Institute and so on and so forth. How about the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers? They represent people in broadcast. Shouldn't they have a commissioner? I mean, that's out of the question. People would think you're crazy. And
the newest commissioner has an activist background, though. What is her name?
Yes, they're activists for sure. But the point is that from where? And so I'm saying if we're going to have a democratic society, everybody's got to be in the pool. And you cannot have the regulatory system or all these other things where they're really the province of a very, very small section of people. this last Supreme Court decision that, you know, basically money is speech, the last one, the one from 2 weeks ago, 1,240 people, 1,240 people in the entire United States are going to be affected by that, because they're the people who give more than $250,000. I mean, think about that. And who is the court working for under these circumstances? So these are big questions in the media and big questions about how we operate in this country. We are committed to a democratic media and a democratic discussion. And anything we can do to move that along, we're interested in doing.
And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Frank Emsbach, the executive producer of the Workers Independent News. And I just want to make get clear, do you have a problem with stations having to make an announcement that this news is brought to you by workers?
No, no. Some of our news is, depending on what station it's on, there's all kinds of arrangements. I mean, 160, 170 of them. So we have several sponsors. There are a couple of unions that sponsor our news. There's an insurance company that sponsors our news, and there's a bank, as a matter of fact. So on the days that they do that, we're in a foundation, so you can't – there are a certain language you have to use, like public radio. You can't say, go buy this. You can say, this is underwritten by. And so we have the Bank of Labor and several other organizations. Bank of Labor is actually in Kansas City. Again, hardly the center of left-wing agitation. And they're a sponsor. They're a labor bank. They are like a they have a lot of I guess working class members, and they have a Midwest presence. Like we're out here in the Midwest. So anyway, they're a sponsor, and they say today's broadcast was brought to you by the Bank of Labor. And sometimes a union sponsors us. So today's broadcast was brought to you by so and so. When we were on in New York City on 1010 Winds, a big station, some of your listeners may know, it was the Concrete Alliance. What is that, you may say? Well, it's the people who build with concrete, both management and labor, interestingly enough. And we focused on the same issues we usually focus on, except, you know, we just did news about New York City, which is enough, you know, certainly to fill the day. And so that was a joint sponsorship by management and labor, actually.
So in this case, you're just bewildered, I guess, that they called you out in such a specific, unusual way that seems like to have a chilling effect on your operation.
Bewildered and insulted. Now, the news guys, the people who work with us, the producers, the voices, the people who've done the work here, they're infuriated to have their professional integrity impugned in this manner.
All right.
But they didn't say so-and-so is doing fake news. So it's very hard, legally speaking, to figure out even how we're going to have standing here. And we have asked about that as well. Can we intervene? And somebody, one of our legal people said, why? You weren't fined. And I said, no, we weren't. We were just insulted and maybe hurt. Well, I said, you can't prove it, can you? I said, how are we going to prove it?
And so
it's difficult.
So you may find out your freedom of information request Monday or Tuesday, but otherwise you may never know why exactly this happened.
Exactly.
All right. If people want more information on Workers Independent News, where should they go?
To laborradio.org, two R's in labor there, labor radio, or Worker Independent News. Just Google it and we come up. And if you go to our website, www.laborradio.org, there's a little thing you press up on the top right, and you can find out what station is near you that plays our material.
All right. Frank Emsbach, the executive producer of Workers Independent News, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you very much. Have
a
good day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.